Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be here again another year. Let's open our meeting by singing hymn number 104. 104. If the brother could start that, please. Like to take up this afternoon something that I'm not very qualified to speak about. I'm sure some of you in natural responsibilities take up things that you know from your work and speak to younger employees or students about something that you know more about than they do. I would like to speak this afternoon about divine persons. And it just makes you feel so small to look up at the majesty of that which we're able to apprehend of divine persons. The divine person I particularly like to speak about is one that we often don't speak about, and that is the Holy Spirit. In the English, in the King James English Bible, for whatever reason, the translators sometimes translate his name Holy Ghost, and sometimes Holy Spirit. But if you look on your concordance that I know all you young people carry around, you'll see it's the same word in the original language. or spirit, it's interestingly, it's pneuma, like pneumatic, P-N-E-U-M-A, like a pneumatic tire. And interestingly, it's the same word that is used for breath in the Greek language, and I think I've been told by my good friend Nick Simon that it's the same in the Hebrew language. So these things are, this person, what can we know about him? We can only know what we can apprehend by revelation from God himself. And it's comforting to us that one tells us about himself who knows himself thoroughly. I may tell you about myself and my wife may roll her eyes. Say, well, he's not really maybe so accurate. But God knows himself thoroughly, of course. And he is able to communicate who he is and what he's about in his precious word. And that's what we have. One of my brother friends likes to say often, and I love to hear him say it. He says that there are two distinguishing characteristics of this present dispensation. One is that there is a man in heaven. Just one. I know you've buried, like I've buried my parents. You've buried friends, sometimes children, your uncles, your aunts, your grandparents. And you're putting them, their bodies in the coffin and in the ground. And that's where they're going to stay until the resurrection, which may take place today. And they themselves, the they who lives in that body, are immediately, when they leave their body, absent from it and present with the Lord. And that's where they are today. They're in paradise. And they're with the Lord. But they're, all of those loved ones that we've planted, laid down lovingly in the ground, awaiting that great day. There is one exception that the first resurrection, the resurrection of the just, the resurrection of life, it's called different things, the first installment has already happened. And that is a group of one. Because on the third day, the Lord Jesus was raised out from among all the rest of the dead ones and was alive and presented himself as such, as a living man. And as you know, beyond that, in 40 days, witnesses saw him go up through the cloud into heaven. That's where he is today. A man in heaven. Spirit, soul, and body. Because that's what a man consists of. Cattle, horses, your dog, your cat, they don't have a spirit like you have. You are made specially by God for a special purpose. And even though we fell in Adam, that particular gift or calling, if you want to call it that way, is without repentance. Fallen man still has a spirit, still has a soul, and still has a body. That one man is in heaven. And when we'll see, I hope, as we go through, when he went up into heaven, the Son of God went back up to where he was throughout all eternity. He sent one whom he called another comforter down here onto this earth. So unique to our present age is there's one man in heaven, and there is another divine person here in the earth. And the period of time that the scriptures describe for the church period, if we could call it that, or the present dispensation of the mystery or the grace of God, it started with that other comforter coming down into this world, and that began the birthday, the first day of the church of God, as we had in our readings in Ephesians 4. When the Lord Jesus comes a second time out of heaven, that will end. That period of the Church of God. It could be today. We could be living on the last day of the Church of God's presence here below in this world. So that this period of time, it started with the coming of a divine person, the Holy Spirit. It ends with one who's coming to end it in those two parentheses. When I was a teenager, I happened to be walking past a black and white TV at a friend's house. And his mother said, "Oh, look, boys, look." It was 1969. And a man was walking on the moon. So I could see this grainy picture of a man on the moon. And when that was quite an achievement, put a man on the moon. And the powers that be had arranged for him to say something unique and special. I mean, you don't just land on the moon and just say something ridiculous, right? You got to say something poetic, something historical. So they had rehearsed him, and he more or less said what they wanted him to say. He said once he stepped on the moon, and he said, "One small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." Now, I don't know about you, but since 1969, there's only been one massive change in my life, and that was when I was saved some years after that. But I doubt your life has changed very much because a man walked on the moon. But your life has changed, and so has mine, and our whole eternity has changed because there's a man in heaven. There's just one man there. He's coming back soon to take us to be there too. Well, in John's Gospel chapter 1, and I just want to read a verse or two and then move to Luke. In John chapter 1, we are introduced in John's Gospel not only to divine persons, the Father, who was never revealed in the Old Testament. As we sang in that hymn, "Hallowed be thy name." His name is hallowed. I love that part of the prayer. Hallowed be thy name. If you know God as Father, that's a completely Christian thing. No Old Testament saint knew God as Father. That relationship had not yet been established. But in John's Gospel, gradually as we go through it, we see the communication first of the Son of God himself, who's called in the first couple of verses the Word. And then we read about the Father. And then we read about another Comforter or the Spirit in somewhat a veiled language. And finally, as we get to about chapter 14, 15, 16, if you're following along for the first time, you say, "Wow, this isn't just an influence." Like you say, it's like a wind or something like that. This is a person, a divine person. So when we read in John's Gospel chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word." This is speaking about the Son, who in manhood is confirmed to be the Son of God, that one who lived and existed eternally. "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God." He's distinct. He's eternal. And the Word was God. He's divine. We start with that in the Son. We got that, okay? We say, yeah, we got that. But we can infer from that, of course, that the other divine persons in the Godhead are also eternal and divine and distinct persons. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. Though my thought is really to try and trace through some aspects of the Holy Spirit with respect to us, to you and me, it's, I think, helpful to start with the relationship of the Holy Spirit, that divine person, with the Son of God himself. I know sometimes people call him the second person or the third person of the Godhead. I don't know if I'm altogether on board with that or not, but I think you've probably heard that expression. But in Luke chapter 1, in verse 33, verse 30, "An angel appears to Mary. Thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This hasn't started yet, as you probably know. Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? This is not, it seems to me, a question of unbelief or challenge. It's just a question of curiosity. God is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed, and words are too. When Zacharias spoke to the angel, God saw that there was an edge to his question, and he lost the ability to speak until the baby was born. But we don't see that with Mary. She asks the honest question. She gets the beautiful, honest answer. Verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. We have now a divine person. We have a divine person doing an action in a virgin's womb to bring forth a person like no other. We have the angel giving testimony to the character of this conceived a man child as the Son of God. The title or character of him in humiliation coming down from the highest glory into this world, nothing